put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Welcome to season 3 of BYO Blanket, a yoga podcast where we get cozy and discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute. All of it inside a virtual blanket fort. Before we start, Janan, you had a quick message for our listeners.
Give us money!
Rather quick message.
And by that I mean become a patron of the show so that we can keep doing the show. We love making these for you guys. You apparently love listening. We like to put good stuff out into the world, and it's through your support that we're able to make it happen. You don't just give us money because we also then return it by sending you cool things every month. So do that by going to byoblanket.com, and there is a very obvious link on the front page of where you go and become a patron of the show. Back to you, Maria.
Thank you, Janan. Also, listeners, if you don't want to give us monetary support, review us on iTunes, share us on your social medias and all that kind of good stuff.
And give us money.
And give us money. Anyways, welcome to our episode, guys. We have a fantastic guest today. Do you want to introduce him, Janan?
This guy, I can't decide whether I love him or I hate him, but when I have to make a decision, it's love him. You guys, it's Nathan Harrington.
Woo! Welcome, Nathan.
Hey, I'm excited to be here.
Yes.
Finally.
After almost three years of the show, we got him.
We did it, guys. We did it.
And for the few people who are listening who's Nathan? Nathan, tell them who you are. Like, give us a little down low. Nathan bio.
So my name is Nathan Harrington. I work full time at Big Power Yoga. Janan and I are co-workers. I've worked for Big for about 7.5 years. I am the head of team development, which I always say that what that means is if you've ever had, Big is really known for having like a really cool front desk guest experience in addition to like really kick-ass yoga classes. And I would say that if you've had a good experience at the front desk, I probably had something to do with that.
Yes.
So I love yoga. I love people. I love transformational leadership. I'm kind of a geek when it comes to that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's me.
Nathan's like, I think of all the people I know, you have like the most hours of leadership training under your belt. Nathan is a cool leader, y'all.
That he is. And you brought us a very interesting topic, something that I think I have mentioned before briefly in one of our earlier episodes, like back in the day when I was doing the 300-hour training at Big. But do you want to introduce that for us, Nate? Give us that.
Yeah, topic. Well, I really just want to really talk about movement and the human body and and movement. I know that's a huge topic, but right before this, Janan said I had to say the topic succinctly or as succinctly as I can, which made me nervous. So there's a couple of things I want to talk about. One is I want to talk about the relationship between physical movement and mental health. Mm-hmm. Something that is really important to me, and I think that a lot of people have gotten connected to during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And the amount of time that we have been spending alone. And then I also, I am curious about movement and our bodies as spiritual practices outside of like the framework of yoga, you know?
Yeah.
Like there are people who, SoulCycle is like, I hate to use the word cult, but it's like definitely a cult, right? And there's a part of it is that
it
like
is?
People.
I've never been. It is really?
No, it's not. I'm teasing.
Well, then isn't Big kind of a cult too?
Well, let's not get into that. but no, I mean, but people speak to having really profoundly transformative spiritual experiences on bikes at SoulCycle. And I've experienced that myself. Mm. And so then that kind of gets me curious about what is it about our bodies, like our physical bodies and moving our bodies, that gives us access to sort of this other realm. Mm. But then also it's like, but then also like reaches back to this realm and makes a difference, you know? Mm-hmm. That's that. And then I have this project that I'm working on related to that, that I wanted to talk about. So
I like Love to it. Move it, movement, movement.
I like to it's move like, it. It's movement. A clever name and also not great.
It's a little cumbersome.
Brand or market. Yeah, it's a little cumbersome to say that. I like to move it, movement.
I think you have to sing it. I don't think you have to say it.
Yeah. I like to move it, movement.
See, it works then.
Wait, we're going to get copyright. We're going to get a copyright slammed on us. No, I don't actually know, Nathan. You're fine. Do you know, a long, long time ago, this is just a random thought, I was like sitting there pondering spirit animals for all my friends. And for you, I actually had picked a lemur. And then you made the I Like to Move It movement, which is made famous by King Julian the lemur from Madagascar.
Yeah. How full funny. Circle.
Yeah. So lemur. When you finally sent that. Me that was the final name of the program, I was like, oh, he's a lemur. Yay.
You were right all along. You read my spirit animal. Aww.
You knew it.
And Akash is a tall meerkat.
That's
Akash
right.
Akash is a tall meerkat.
That's absolutely right.
You're very cute together. A little meerkat, lemur friendship.
Akash is my boyfriend, in case
listeners
don't.
Akash is famously Nathan's boyfriend. And in Akash's circle, Nathan is Akash's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All the circles. Anyways, I'm really excited that you brought us this topic, Nate, because I often say to people, especially at work, how the hell do you deal with stress without working out? Mm. Like how? How do you stay sane in a very stressful job? They're just consulting is a very stressful job, dealing with clients, traveling back in the day and all that stuff. And people sometimes don't work out or they don't necessarily take care of their physical health.
I have an answer to that.
Tell me.
Because there's at least 7 years where I didn't work out at all. And the answer is drugs. I didn't say it was a good answer.
Actually, what I was thinking, I was like, smoke cigarettes. Yes. Awesome. Like I haven't smoked in 10 years, but no, that's not true. I haven't smoked in 8 years, but if I'm stressed,
yeah,
cigarette is what's up.
Beer and a joint was my way to go back in the day. And I'm not saying that was a good answer. Like that was right. That's just an answer.
That is what, yeah, that is
an answer.
Anyways, but we can't, what were you saying, Maria, though?
Well, that was it. I mean, what's another healthy, you know, good for you way of dealing with stress that does not involve movement?
We are all yoga teachers in this Zoom room. So we've had the blessing of having a yoga practice in our lives. It's, the reason I'm bringing it up, because Nathan, right before we got on, was talking about, well, what's so special about a yoga pose versus like playing basketball, something like that. Like are the shapes of yoga inherently like more fulfilling mentally and spiritually than another sport? And I think that's a really interesting concept to talk about, because there have been a lot of talks about that back in the day. So Nathan, what's your point of view on that?
Well, you know, anatomically, I think that, yes, yoga, yoga just addresses, or it can address, you know, much like a lot more of like the physical needs than any sort of other individual workout or sport. Yeah. You know, specifically the kind of yoga that we do, where there's both a lot of focus on strengthening and stretching, and doing it on all different planes and all different
axes.
Axis points.
Yeah.
No, the axes. Oh, no. Axes. Yeah. Like the axes.
These. Anyways, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if I would say it's superior in that way, but it definitely is kind of more of a one-stop shop at the anatomical level, I think, than most other things.
Yeah, it's really well-rounded, for sure.
Yeah, and is a really good support to other types of movement. Mm-hmm. You know, like it can, you know, Nick used to say, our friend Nick Zog, he used to say like, hey, like oh, you do CrossFit? Oh, this is the reason you should do yoga is so you can continue to do CrossFit for a long time. Or else you won't be able to.
Yeah.
You'll like wreck your body, and this will like support you in being able to.
Yeah.
To do kinds of movement. But to kind of go, so at that level, yes. My personal take is that no, it's not inherently more spiritual. Now I'm talking about the asana, right? Which is what in obviously the West, like we've kind of stripped yoga to mean anything else than just that, right? Yeah. There's obviously all the other practices of yoga, the other seven limbs that are in some ways maybe not, but in some ways like intrinsically spiritual practices.
Yeah.
But you know, here's what I'll say is you know, when I my whole 20s I lived with an undiagnosed mood disorder that when I was 30 landed me in the hospital from a failed suicide attempt. And I was really, I was really glad I didn't succeed. I just want to go on the record saying that. What's that?
I just said it's on the record now. Yes.
Yeah. it's like on, yeah, a recorded record. I'll say that a mild mood stabilizer and yoga completely like just, I am a new person. Like I have like the person that lived my life in my 20s and the person who now has lived my life, I'm 39 now, I just have like a whole different access to myself and to living my life with integrity. Mm. To you know, there were just things like I couldn't get myself to do in my 20s that like I knew, I mean, just spending money is like an example. Like I would, when in my like 20s, and maybe like every 20-year-old in some ways lives this way, but like I would have, you know, I would have like no money. I'd have like $2 in my checking account and would go and like and have like transactions that I know hadn't cleared yet. And like, and then I would go spend those $2 and like overdraw, but like, and it was like a chemical imbalance. Like it wasn't like just a lack of discipline. It was like I literally couldn't get myself to not do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And anyway, so but like now, right now, it's like I've got over the last 9 years, I've really just gotten like, if I move my body for 20 minutes a day, even just like that amount, it's like that takes me from small Nathan that doesn't give a flying flip about anything, including myself, to someone who loves people, who loves myself, who wants to show up, who's committed to things. And there's just something that happens. Like, I mean, and I know there's like a lot of science, a lot of books out there about how the brain and the body work together when you move it. But, that I say all that to say like that process and that discovery has been like a profound thing for me, you know? And so when people say, I'll hear like, I was saying this earlier, right? Like when yoga people, you know, those yoga people, when they'll say like, oh, that's just a work, like, that's just a workout. We're doing something, whatever. I'm like, look, if my body is a temple, right? As they say in certain other disciplines, if my body is a temple, then what does it matter what I'm doing with it if I'm doing something good for it?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, because sometimes you like gotta preach in the temple with a big mass, and sometimes you gotta sweep the floor. But they're both good for the temple. I just like extended that metaphor unnecessarily.
No, I like it. I like that. I'm with you. Yes. With you right away.
Yeah, and I mean, before yoga, I was really into martial arts, and it gave me, even though I was in my teenage years and young adult years and was making a bunch of terrible bad decisions, the fact that I was still doing martial arts like weirdly gave me at least a little bit of self-control. Like, I definitely made decisions that I would not make in this day. Yet having that discipline in martial arts, I mean, I wouldn't describe it as like a religious spirituality that I would feel after a good, you know, 2-hour session, but I would just feel like, you know, in the zone, like on it, like at one with my body. It was almost like the consciousness that is me, the thing that animates my body and makes it more than just like a working robotic husk, would feel more spread out through my body rather than just like locked right here in the center of my forehead, like not even really out here with the world. But like after a good Taekwondo session, I would just feel alive in a way that's hard to describe in a different way than I just did. And then I fell off that wagon completely and just didn't do anything for about 7 years. And it's that 7 years I got like really, really deeply depressed. And, you know, it wasn't until I stumbled into yoga, just not even knowing. I thought yoga was a martial arts. I've told this story a million times. And I showed up in my Taekwondo pants.
Oh, yeah.
And then found out, oh, well, I mean, it's kind of like martial. It's like really slow, cool, like martial arts. So I actually wore my Taekwondo pants for my first 6 months of doing yoga because it worked.
It works. But,
love it.
And it's like I rediscovered that the thing that I walk around in my body is actually something that grounds me to the earth, which then allows me to connect with others. Because before that, I was just like in my head feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. And that was like my version of my, like you can call it depression and anxiety. And to me, it just felt like being trapped and lonely. And
yeah.
It just happened to be yoga at that point. I'm sure if I like got on a soccer team, you know, that would have made a difference. But I do think that, just tack on to what you said, Nathan, and then I'll wrap up what I'm saying because I know I've just talked a many minutes in a row, is that even though the poses aren't inherently spiritual, like I don't do Warrior II and it's like my chakras are aligned and now I know God. It's like that because I say it's like that, but like Warrior II is just a series of measurements in my body, really. What I do enjoy and love about yoga, different than when I go to the gym or like kick a ball around, is there is a mental discipline that we practice, is the drishti and the slowing down of my breath. And also, like sometimes, I know it's cheesy to be like, when you set an intention before practice, it like makes a difference, but you know, it does. Like realizing that I actually do this yoga for others. I wonder if I went to kick the ball around and I thought to myself, this is for how I'm gonna treat Maria, and this is for how I'm gonna be a big
dude. That's exactly, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's like exact, I'm sitting here kind of seeing really for the first time is like that is what has had my experiences at SoulCycle or any spin class be a profound experience for me, is I'll go and I'll be like, okay, this class is gonna have me be able to show up big the rest of the week. And I do. I practice drishti and I practice breathing like while I'm on the bike. And it's like I kind of have brought like the tools that I have of yoga that are the things that I'm clear about, like what you're saying, Janon, and I completely agree, is like that is for me what adds a substance to the physical movement. And so I don't know, maybe I'm just stealing stuff from yoga and taking it to SoulCycle with me.
Well, it's not just yoga. And here's what I think is super interesting, is take yoga and all the yogic philosophy out. So look at Stoic philosopher, the founder of the Stoic philosophy, his name is Zeno, the prophet. When he first started out, he was like this high class Athenian who then started carrying his own food and then started eating peasant food as he was learning and developing his philosophy, because he believed that, well, first of all, the ego gets in the way. we can all align to that. And also because of the physical movement. Like before, when he was all rich and high society, he had people doing shit for him and he barely moved because he didn't have to, right? Because he had so many people serving him. And then when he was seen around town carrying this giant like containers of lentils or bread or something, it was for exercise. And he only did it to walk around town, you know, just like for the sake of exercise, because he believed, and they always teach, that the physical discipline is also important to take the ego out of the mind so that you can like further develop the mind and the spirit, and in that be able to accomplish the, you know, what philosophy really is, or what the philosopher's work is, which is learn this stuff and also learn how to apply it to your to your everyday life.
Oh my gosh, I never thought about it that way, that like physical movement helps to destroy the ego self, so that then one could get more like spiritually connected with something bigger than themselves, because they took out like, you know, the me first mentality. Because like, let's be real, like most physical exercise, when it's like cranked up, kicks our asses. It's hard.
Yep.
And I definitely feel like destroyed sometimes. Like I'll be in,
oh my god,
right?
The, I just did a workout right before this and I was like, I hate life, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have like all kinds of desperate thoughts in that those last like three wheel poses. I'll be like, why do I do this to myself? I hate this, it feels terrible. But you know, like I have the
discipline. But it's all like at the level of egoic thought, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But it just comes up and out. And then when I'm done with it, I'm left with the more big, the bigger me. That's just not as individual and only caring about me, which is pretty cool.
Okay. So this then circles back to the first thing that Maria brought up about like sitting in a desk all day, dealing with stress. How do you deal with that? So there's this book that I'm reading. I'm only like 70 pages into it, so I can't like tell you the whole point of it, but it's called Wild. And and it's these two doctors that are basically saying like, look, all of the ailments of, what do they call them? Diseases of civilization, right? Are a function of that civilization evolved quicker than our bodies did. Right. And so the ways that we eat, the ways that we move our body, like are all given by modern civilization, by the kinds of offices that we live in, the cars that we drive, the, you know, the way that urban life works.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, we have lives that like these bodies weren't actually designed for. And then like, as I'm hearing, so, you know, basically the thing about the book is like, move your body more, right? and eat the thing. And then they kind of like, there's a little bit of a pitch for like a paleo diet.
Yeah.
Though they don't ever say that specifically. But, you know, what I heard when Maria was saying that I think is really interesting is like, you know, if we take the case that our ancestors were sort of a little more evenly distributed between like the use of their mind and then the use of their bodies, that one of the things that like in human evolution that has happened is that we have wound up with too much mind.
Nathan, get out of my brain. That's exactly what I thought of too.
Like we've just wound up with too much mind. And that's like, you know, in the light year work that we do at Big, right? It's like we talk about like being a very neck up society.
Yeah.
And that there's this whole, you know, world of intelligence and information and support and muscle, like, you know, there's all the muscles in our brain and then there's like the muscles in our body that just get completely underutilized and underappreciated.
Yeah.
Like underappreciated is the big thing.
You want to know something that's so cool based off of what you're saying, Nathan?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did I continue? If you're saying something very important, I just cut you off. With Zoom, you can never tell when someone's done talking because, you know, there's that little delay. So I'm sorry if I cut you off.
Well, no, I mean, there's this whole other topic that I want to talk about, which is like, which is related, which is, I'm trying to come up with a word. It's like a, let's say that de-intellectualization is a word.
Okay.
Can we say that?
Mm-hmm.
That communicates something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you mean when you say it.
Yeah, so that, like, I'm also, like, there's something in all of this that, like, so in American culture that fitness is like I don't know, it's like less than anything else, mm-hmm. right? Like spirituality is this good thing, right? Academics, like that, those things are viewed as like superior to physical fitness, and you have all these different ways that manifests, right? There's like the dumb jock, right? Like yep. that whole sort of archetype. Yeah, so I don't know. I just think that's like an interesting
way interesting.
Like our value system has ended up.
That actually out. Has exactly everything to do with what I was interrupting with.
Okay, yeah, go.
You know, I view the disparateness between those who laud spirituality and those who, you know, are cool just like living a life in their body. Actually, it's like usually a classism thing.
Yep.
This started like back in the day, like way back in the day. You know, if you think about before the Industrial Revolution, you had a very, very few people, quote unquote, on top. Like they got waited on hand and foot. They owned the land. And then you had like everyone who like worked the land, like they were in their bodies. They were getting darker colored skin because they were in the sun. We have like pretty much our entire, like all the issues that we have with social injustice and whatnot is based off of like that, the weird way that it worked out economically with the people who worked and the people who didn't work. And so when like religion and spirituality were being practiced, it was by like priests were held up really high. Like they had a lot of power because their only job in life wasn't to like mill the land and, you know, raise cattle. It was to communicate with the source, communicate with God. And what ended up happening over, I mean, there's different waves of it throughout time, but a really specific time where you can point at like the evolution of yoga with the evolution of everything in the world is, yoga became, asana became really important and like really fleshed out in the 1800s and 1900s because of how our technology was advancing. And so that just meant less people had to be out working and more people started getting in their heads about stuff. There was more like merchants and, you know, people who just didn't use their hands really to do things. And so when yoga became more, they call it like calisthenics and what is it called when you do things in a leotard? Gymnastics.
Aerobics.
Gymnastics. it was when the Industrial Revolution was happening, and it was actually, and it was actually also when India was trying to get its independence. And so asana, physical yoga that felt empowering AF to like get in your body and like feel connected to the earth and make a difference in the life, is where yoga evolved to during that time. And so, as you said, Nathan, like we've evolved to be a neck up species because our technology evolved faster than our bodies. And then the way that yoga shifted was to shift it back so that we could be balanced in this new world and it is more about the body. But you still have the remnants of the people in power that really wanted it to be like, it's not about how good you are with your body and things. It's about how smart and intelligent and like the things you believe in are. It's all up here. And so there's, we still see like a fight in the supremacy of the mind over the body. It's pretty interesting.
It's also interesting to me that it is just now, and I mean like very, very recently, the companies are taking the whole wellness thing. Like there's a wellness movement in corporate America, right? Yes. There's like all of these programs for, I don't know, some sort of physical activity, meditation. Like now companies offer stipends for gym memberships and whatnot, or they'll bring people, you know, to teach these fitness classes at corporate offices and all that stuff. And it is really truly amazing because I cannot, like, it still is just, it baffles me. How do you have a very stressful job and not move your body? Like I legitimately do not understand. Because I know, and I talked to Nancy about this actually last year, was that I noticed that if I worked out, like, you know, I travel, it didn't matter if my flight was super delayed and, you know, it was me working out for an hour before work could have been the difference between me sleeping 3 hours or me sleeping 4 hours, right? Because my flight was delayed and I have to be to the office. Even if I only slept 3 hours, but worked out that hour, I was way more productive. I was just in a better mood and I was just felt better. Like, I may have been tired and sleepy, and I still felt better. My mood was better. So I do not understand. I legitimately do not understand.
It's like that TED Talk that that Jamie Lim sent to our big group. I'm trying to find it right now.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie Lim. The guy, Jamie Lim. He's one of he's a practitioner at Big, and he did a TED Talk. His name is Rob. And I usually don't watch TED Talks all the way through, but that one I did. I watched it all the way through. Good job, Rob. It was very interesting. And it was about how we actually, this whole wellness thing in the corporate world is being actually fueled because we're finding we lose money and resources and time when we treat our bodies / minds like crap. And then that just costs companies money, and like there's less productivity. And so our economy even suffers. Nathan, your I Like to Move It movement is helping the economy. Just think about that. Nathan for president.
Sorry. Nathan for president.
Talk about your I Like to Move It movement, please.
Yeah. So we're actually coming into the last week of it. It's a 21-day movement challenge, and it's dual purpose. One is, so the challenge is you commit to moving your body for 20 minutes a day, every day for 21 days. And all the participants, we have 128 people participating in it, including these two lovely ladies here, yay, Marie and Janon. And you're doing that movement, and then everybody's running like personal fundraisers to keep themselves accountable and to have their movement be about something bigger, other than simply their own sort of mental and physical well-being. And so we're raising money for two different really cool charities in Houston. One is called Tony's Place. And Tony's Place serves LGBTQ+ youth who are experiencing homelessness. And they provide everything from a shower and a place to do laundry and charge your phone, to connecting youth with different services like social work stuff, like all different kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's Out for Education, and Out for Education provides scholarships for college-bound LGBTQ+ youth in Houston. So that's what it's about. And the focus of the movement, of the physical movement, the invitation for people is to have the movement be about your mental health, right? Like, we've been sending out daily emails, and that's a part of like what we're asking people to look at is like, hey, move your body, and then just notice, like, get present to how you feel. Like, what is your mood before you move and after you move? And as I started to talk to people about this, as the project was sort of in a nascent state, everybody was just like, I need this right now, you know. Pretty early in the pandemic, like when I sort of chose, like, there's things I'm just not gonna do in terms of, you know, socializing and things like that, like most people, right? But I really got early on that I was gonna have to like do more of the good stuff, right? I was gonna need to move more than what I normally did, or place, like, you know, some days like movement would be optional for me. And so anyways, I just, you know, that kind of stuff, I always feel like when I get other people to do it with me and then make it be about giving back, that just makes it.
Yeah, it's been great.
More fun.
I had the opportunity to DJ a dance party, and that was one of the highlights of my 2020.
Super fun.
So movement can be dancing, y'all. It doesn't need to be some like austere yoga practice. It can just be like flailing around for 20 minutes.
Totally. Yeah. And that's really one of the commitments is also bringing to light, there is a lot of privilege and exclusivity around different types of movement. Yeah. You know, it's something to like be responsible for in this conversation of like, you know, you know, we're three able-bodied people who have accesses to gym memberships and all of the things that make movement really, really accessible. But what part of what we're trying to also bring to light in this is that, yeah, you can literally just go for a walk.
Yeah.
Right. You could literally like just park your car at the back of the parking lot when you go to the grocery store and, you know, walk a little bit more than what you normally would.
Yeah.
And that, like, in air quotes, counts.
Yeah. One of the things that we've been doing that has been so much freaking fun is we get a group together of people, and Monday afternoons, we go to the park and just kick a soccer ball around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
It's been amazing.
It's so much fun.
Nathan, I'm just curious. I've actually never asked you this, and I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here by asking you, are you going to do the movement again at any point?
Possibly. Possibly, yeah.
Like a 2021 vision?
Maybe say again?
Maybe having 2021 vision sometime in 2021.
Or do it for the
whole year. Yeah, you know, I've been in different conversations about that, like as a possibility. Yeah, you know, there, one other thing I'll say about the movement is that, you know, a part of my intention is that I really wanted to bring this conversation to the LGBTQ plus community. And so I've kind of, you know, most of the instructors who've been doing our daily live stream classes are LGBTQ plus people.
Yeah.
Got a couple of allies in there also, which is great. And, you know, this particular conversation, I think, is really useful for all people, and especially in the gay community.
Yeah.
And as we created the project, and as I talked to people about it, there were a lot of gay people that were like, this, nobody is talking about this. Like, I want to be a part of something like this. And so I don't know if the challenge will happen again. It might, it could, yeah. But, definitely the commitment underlying it, I am really committed to.
I love that. Y'all, and I think it's great.
And yeah. Here's the thing is, whether raising money happens, whether we're actively doing the movement or not. So go to my fundraising page, everybody. Me, Janon. And go and pledge some money under my name just so that I look good, but also the overarching thing is that they give
50% of whatever they're going to give to you, and then the other 50% to Maria.
Well, okay, yeah, do that. Donate half of what you're going to give to Maria, half of what you're going to give to me, our pages, I should say, and what wins is these nonprofits that Nathan mentioned earlier. Brilliant. So. You can find that on my personal Instagram, on Maria's personal Instagram.
We should link it to the BYO Blanket one too.
Yeah, it'll be on BYO Blanket's link in bio. And then make sure you guys are following the @ILikeToMoveItMovement on Instagram. Just stay up to date with what is happening in the movement, what this brainiac Nathan is going to do with it next, because this is a world changer right here. So you guys better be following.
Like we said, helping the economy.
One gay person at a time.
Putting America back to work? Is that?
Make America more efficient again?
Make America gay for the first time.
Oh my God.
Oh, and be sure you guys are following Nathan on his personal Instagram. It's @NateHarrington1. Right?
Give me a like, give me a follow.
Did I get that right? @NateHarrington1.
Yeah, you got it. NateHarrington1.
Cool. Guys. Well, we're here at the end of the show. Oh my gosh, time flies. And
when you're having fun.
Yeah, it really did fly. I was hoping this would drag on a lot longer, but you know, we know that people can't like sit and listen for a long time because they got to go get up and move their butts and
exactly. Get enough sitting and listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
or some people go listen to this again while you walk.
Yeah, some people listen while they walk. So good job, you. You know who we're talking. Good job. And good job to you future movers. We know you're probably going to move at some point today. Any last thing you'd like to share with the listeners, Nathan, before we end the meeting, the call, the episode?
No, this was super fun. Thank y'all so much for having me. This is, this is way less scary than what I thought it was going to be.
Oh, man. Oh, no, this is not scary really at chill. All. This is a very chill show, and it's rated explicit, just so you know, for next time. Yeah. You don't have to even
it is
yeah
oh absolutely sorry if we didn't say that before
Oh, well, I don't say explicit stuff.
You don't really.
Don't mean to censor you.
I've heard yeah. But you're not censored, FYI.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I'll say is I love you and thank you for listening.
Mm. Oh. Yeah.
Love you guys and love everybody for listening.
Yes. All right. Nathan, an honor to have you on our podcast. Please come back anytime you want. Yes.
Everybody have a great rest of your life. We'll be in your ears next time.
Guys, get up and dance for like 10 minutes after this. I don't know what song we're singing, but let's do it. The same song.
I don't know
what song that was. I was just kind of humming. We made it work.
I'm really bad at improv. Okay. Love you. Have a good day. Everyone, let's say bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Blanket Ninjas. BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening.